Now we will have the presentation from the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo, otherwise known as CAPSLO.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, members. And thank you very much, Chuck, for inviting me to come and speak. Chuck is on our board for, what are we talking now?
Maybe three years, since the last election here. And I want to say thank you for coming because there's so many people that don't know anything about CAPSLO. And I think it's just important this time of year. Everybody's got their focus on those in need. Our homeless shelter benefit coming up Saturday at the community center, all kinds of good stuff. So thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
This is Grace McIntosh, Deputy Director with the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo, and she'll tell us all about them.
Great. So as Chuck was saying, Community Action Partnership, or CAPSLO, as we call ourselves now, was really started. Oh, thank you. We began really with the War on Poverty in 1964, Lyndon Johnson's Great War on Poverty, and we are part of a national network of over 1,000 community action agencies. Although we're not all called Community Action Partnership, we are in particular serving over 30,000 people in 11 counties. Although we are administratively based here, in the other counties we primarily do Head Start and other mostly child and family type of programs, which I'll talk a little bit about in a few minutes. But that is our mission. Our mission is to eliminate poverty by empowering individuals and families to achieve economic self-sufficiency and self-determination. And we do that through a number of programs. We do have a number of programs, and so I was going to just very briefly talk about a few of them and then focus on the ones that we actually are doing here in Los Osos. That's just a general sort of ages. As you can see, we really go through the entire lifespan. So services for children from birth to five, that is our primary service provision. So we have early Head Start, migrant and seasonal Head Start, state migrant child care, state preschool, and state general child care. And we will talk about our early Head Start program that we provide here at Sunnyside. So what do we provide here? Comprehensive child development from age 0 to 5. So really the focus is obviously providing that young child with a nurturing environment, early childhood development, including all of those things that you see there, but a very heavy involvement of parents. Parents do participate in the program. They actually learn leadership skills and how to really run their program. They join us oftentimes in Washington, D.C. when we go and advocate on behalf of their children. And so it's really been a great opportunity, and a lot of parents actually go into public service after their involvement there. And so as I said, here we are at Sunnyside on Manzanita Drive. We have slots for 40 children. We do have waiting lists, which is not at all uncommon in all of our locations. Services for adults and families. We have a lot of employment support. We do a Liberty Tattoo Removal, which is a program that we are able to provide monthly at Sierra Vista through the wonderful donations of the physicians there and the room. We have a laser tattoo removal program that actually removes all of the antisocial and gang-related tattoos that an individual may want to have removed. In exchange for doing that, we ask the participants to contribute at least 16 hours to a local nonprofit of their choice. We have Adult Day. We are the only Adult Day, social model Adult Day program in the entire county for elderly folks who are struggling with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. It is located in Paso Robles, but we do have people from Los Osos that come because we're the only game in town in the entire county. We have two reproductive health care clinics, one located in Arroyo Grande and one in San Luis Obispo. Again, the focus is on reproductive health and sexual education for individuals. We do have a 40 Wonderful program, which is a menopausal health service for women ages 49 and above. And interestingly, in our reproductive health clinics, over a third of our participants are men. And then we have energy weatherization, which I'm going to talk a little bit about because Los Osos is a high utilizer of those services. And then, of course, we have our crisis intervention. It's our emergency utility payment program, which I'll talk about. And then our shelter and day center, the Maxine Lewis Memorial Shelter, Prado Day Center, and homeless case management. And I'm sure most of you have hopefully heard that we are building. If you drive by 40 Prado, you will see it. It's definitely skeletally up and actually looking really good, and we are on track to open in June, which will then consolidate both the overnight shelter and the day center. Thank goodness. And Richard, I'm going to give a plug, a shameless plug, to Richard Margetson, who currently sits on our Friends of 40 Prado board and has just been wonderful and instrumental in the event, which, in case you all didn't know, there's this really cool event happening this weekend. So energy services, I wanted to focus on this and then two other programs that are here in Los Osos. We serve a large number of homeowners here in Los Osos, and essentially our service is for low-income individuals. It is basically a free weatherization and minor home repair program. We do things like repair and replace water heaters, furnace repair and replacement. We'll come in and actually do an assessment of your home. We replace a lot of windows, doors. The whole focus is to help the homeowner to save on their electric bills, to make their homes more energy efficient. We also provide a once-a-year assistance with utility bills. So if somebody's behind on their utility bill, they just need to come into our office with the actual bill, and we are able to then put it into the system, and PG&E will pay for it directly. It is once a year, which has really been really important for a lot of families that are really struggling. Also, for our seniors, we are able to provide programs for seniors, not just in Santa Maria and Pismo, but all over. Again, unfortunately, we have a waiting list. But those services can include all of the things you see: grab bars, handrails, chair platforms, minor plumbing and carpentry. One of the things that we are able to do on occasion, because it costs quite a bit, is do the temporary wheelchair ramps into mobile homes, because that's essential. A lot of our seniors are almost homebound if they can't get into their home once they become wheelchair bound. There's the contact information. Our main office is located in San Luis Obispo, and that is where an individual would need to go if they needed that once a year utility payment assistance. But toll-free number, give a call if you or know of anyone. We also do apartments. It's basically anyone who is low income and really needs some assistance in any of those services that I talked about. Homeless services. How many of you don't know about our homeless services? Okay, I thought so. All right. So right now we have 50 beds at Maxine Lewis Memorial Shelter and 25 to 45 overflow beds at a church or the synagogue. They take turns. We have been at Maxine Lewis, which is essentially three modulars that were soldered together 30 years ago with a shelf life of 15 years. We are grossly, grossly in need of getting out of there. And so thank goodness we were able to purchase through a grant outright and in collaboration with RTA the property at 40 Prado. The Prado Day Center, which is right now currently right across the street at 43 Prado, is on City of San Luis Obispo property, and they need their property back so that they can move forward on their wastewater treatment plant expansion. And so that is really the only day program in the entire county where you can now go get a free shower, do your laundry, have breakfast, lunch, which is provided every day by People's Kitchen, an incredible group that kind of coordinates volunteer groups throughout the county. Health screening, mail phone, on-site services. Again, very old, very dilapidated, very much in need, and across town. So if you're there at Prado during the day, when Prado closes, you got to go all the way across town to get to Maxine. For our children, because we don't open until 5, oftentimes children and their moms or dads have to kind of just hang out until we can open at 5. And then the children are bused every day to a different facility. So when people say, what's the most exciting thing, Grace, about this new center? It's finally the kids don't have to be bused and have to lay in an army cot every night and not have a place to actually just be. So that's the most exciting thing for me. We do have case management. It is much limited now, as it has been across the country with HUD funding cuts. We were at one point, when I first came here 9 years ago, we had 9 case managers, and now through HUD funding, we have 1 that serves the county. Adult wellness and prevention screening. So that is a mobile screening clinic, and we are here, and we come to the community center at least once a month. It is free, and it is not just for seniors. It's for any adult. And this has actually been incredibly important for folks who either can't access their primary care physician, don't have a primary care physician, or are not feeling well and can't wait the 3 weeks before they can get in to see their primary care physician. So we actually have a registered nurse who comes out. She spends about 20 minutes or so with every patient. We do those services, blood pressure, pulse, weight, screening for anemia, blood sugar, cholesterol, and most importantly, spend time. We will refer then. We will actually get on the phone and advocate for our client, and it is completely free. The monthly clinic schedule, because we're all over the county, can be accessed at our website. And as I said, we're here at the community center at least once a month. That is it. That is our CEO. If you ever have any questions, and I can also be reached at that number, that's our website, and that's our Facebook. Join us on Facebook. Thank you.
Thanks, Grace. I have a few comments. Adult wellness screening that you mentioned monthly, it's the first Thursday of every month here from 9 to 12 at the community center. So that would have been this morning. And I want to talk about two areas that I have been personally moved through the Capsule experience. And that would be the Head Start program you talked about, the Policy Council, which is comprised of the parents of the children that are involved. So this effort really does try and make a difference in families, not just children's lives. You need the parents involved for children to succeed, and that's just a wonderful thing to see the hard work that the parents put in, donating their time to make it all work, that program. And the other would be the Maxine Lewis shelter. It's such a wonderful thing that's coming to an end. For the first time, served a meal there not too long ago. And to see the kitchen, you're serving a meal 15 feet from the bunk beds that people are going to be occupying later on that night, as soon as you can clear out the kitchen. And the families that come through, and again, the kids, that this is their life. This is mm-hmm. what they know. Yeah. People can be happy just about anywhere as long as they have a little bit of care and compassion, I think, that it was obvious. So, yeah, that center is going to be wonderful.
I did want to talk about 2 new projects that we're doing currently now at Maxine Lewis Memorial Shelter. One is our recuperative care program, which has been a really awesome program. It's a partnership with the hospitals and SenCal Health. Right now we have 6 beds that we set aside during the day. So Maxine shuts down effectively, but during the day we have those 6 beds, and these are for individuals that are getting discharged from the hospital, but they're too frail to basically hit life on the street, and there's really nowhere for them to go. And so these recuperative care beds allow them to sort of heal and get back on their feet, so to speak. And it has been an amazing, amazing program. And then we just got funded from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration to start the first project in this county. We are one of 20 grantees nationwide to start a integrated treatment program for individuals who have both mental health and substance abuse issues, or what we call co-occurring disorder. We'll be able to serve 30 people, and that is truly the first of its kind in this county, where we are for the first time integrating both mental health and substance abuse issues in one integrated focus. So that's really exciting, and that will start in January. We are also in very serious discussions to have a medical model detox facility on our property. We will actually be presenting to the Board of Supervisors in January what our plans are for that. We would not be running it, but we have space, and that has been an issue in why there hasn't been one of the issues, why that there hasn't been a detox here. And as some of you may know, Vista Del Mar down in Ventura County, which was the closest medical model detox, if not completely burned to the ground, lost two of their major buildings a few days ago. And so that limits us even further in this county. So that would be super exciting if we could do that. So thank you.
My last ad about CAPSLO, they're a pretty amazing organization, nationally recognized with awards of excellence recently, handles $70 million in grants and funds.
Mostly passed through for Head Start.
Right,
yeah.
Right. 1,000 employees. Mm-hmm. Again, out of this office, 11 counties, 9 counties
11.
You touch. Yeah, all the way down to San Diego, over to the Valley. It's a pretty amazing office. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you very much. All right, it's now time for public comment for items not on the agenda. And just a reminder that everyone who wishes to comment gets 3 minutes.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I just want to first express my thoughts and prayers for the Beavers family. I think everyone in Los Osos has been touched by the recent events there, and lift them up in your prayers. On to the business of the district. Today I received a cancellation notice for the Emergency Services Advisory Committee. This is probably the sixth month in a row that that committee has been canceled. This is a monthly meeting. This is the last month of the year. And over the course of a year, that committee's only met 3 times. There's work to do there. We have been, for years, talking about the level of service, the staffing levels, our reserve program. There are things to talk about, things to bring to your board and to advise you on. So while there's fires burning in Southern California, it makes sense to cancel the committee at this particular time. I do believe that it was canceled unnecessarily in the recent past. Something else that's I've brought to your attention a few times, and something came to my attention at the Finance Committee this last week and this Monday. Vista and Bay Ridge Estates have collection systems and septic systems that this district has managed since 1998. In order to turn those systems over to the county, they recently went through one last jetting, one last cleaning. And I was sort of surprised that that matter had not been brought to your board. I am surprised that that wasn't brought to your board, and that, number one, your general manager has $5,000 spending authority, and I understand the cost to do the combined systems was over $8,000. But what's bothering me more than anything is that you are not engaging the residents who are going to foot that bill. And you continue to loan both of those subdivisions money without a loan agreement, without having loans, anything in front of your board. The things you talked about at the time the budget was adopted has not been brought to your board. And here we are at mid-year. This would be the latest I would have thought you would have brought those items to the board. So, looking forward to a new year.
Thank you.
Good evening, Lindy Owen. Happy holidays to everybody. I wanted to show some concern with the fact that I don't see a process for, like, item 12A, adopt a resolution establishing a checking account to accept the SLO Community Foundation funds for Los Osos low-income assistance and approve the applications. Somehow, there was never a process to understand how these funds ended up not really staying with the county. The excuse the administration...
Excuse me, Ms. Owen. this is comments on items not on the agenda, and this
is on the
agenda.
I'm speaking the fact that this item should have been discussed with the community.
I'm
not speaking on the item. I'm speaking about the process that continues to happen here at this CSG. And I'm only asking that the community be included. If we have
Mr.
committee
Hanley?
Meetings, we have committee meetings. Excuse me, I better step down.
Good evening. Steve Best, chairman of Love for Dogs. Been activity going on with the Parks and Recreation Committee. And last year, about this time, we were starting to envision a nonprofit group that was going to pull the community together to start looking at the potential of working with whatever local agency, whether it was the county or the CSD, to put together a dog park. And after January, we started talking with folks like Slow Post, which is the a parent nonprofit organization that took care of the dog park in Cuesta, and they've done a number of other projects throughout the county. They have been parent nonprofit organization for a number of projects throughout the county, and a number of dog park associations throughout the county, and they have quite a large inventory of projects that they've been responsible for. And we were going to go under their wing and achieve our nonprofit status through Slow Post. And then somewhere in March, February, March of that year, this past year, things kind of went sideways and we kind of put the thing on hold. And it was primarily because we didn't understand what the scope and what the arrangement was going to be between a nonprofit group and the CSD, because the CSD was working out the arrangements with the lease with the county. And that is still, I believe, the case right now. We still don't understand what the scope of the project. What does the CSD want to do? Do they want to turn this project over 100% to a nonprofit group and have them raise the funds and build the project and then maintain it over a period of time? Or do they want to have a nonprofit group be responsible for emptying the trash cans, filling up the dog bag dispensers, and raking up the leaves and the leftover dog poop, or something in between? Any nonprofit group that was going to be offering up a bid to do this work would have to have some idea what the scope. What do you want? What kind of funds are going to be involved? What kind of cost range are you looking at? And we're still looking for that. I am putting out the word now that to reform the organization, and so we are going to want to have that information as soon as we can make it available. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Best.
Richard Margetson, can I talk about the shelter, since there was a presentation and it was on the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. Saturday, needs and wishes. I talked about that the last time I was here. I was hoping Grace would talk a little bit more about the schedule for the shelter, the new shelter at 40 Prado. We'll be opening probably June, July of next year. It's going to incorporate a number of services. And the reason I'm mentioning this is the funds have been raised for the shelter, but as you heard from Grace, case management got cut back. There needs to be additional funds raised. Case management is critical. to getting a homeless person through the process into permanent housing, getting them their benefits, dealing with the VA, those type of things. So just because the shelter is built now, it needs to be sustained, and we need to actually raise more money in the future in order to really have that shelter make the difference. I know the catchphrase now is housing first, but we know we have a housing problem in this county, so you can't go from living on the street to permanent housing in this county for everybody that's homeless. So the shelter needs to be that stepping stone. And the amount of services that will be provided by that shelter have increased from what they were at the previous shelter. In fact, People Helping People, as I've mentioned before, we put up the money for one of the offices that will be used by Transitions Mental Health on a weekly basis for consultation with some of the residents at the shelter. It's the holiday season. It's a season of giving. There's many great charities out there to give your money to. But just take a minute and think what it must be like to be homeless. Think of the daily struggle just to exist. Just to exist in these cold nights, waiting for the sun to come up so maybe you'll warm up a little bit, and then try to figure out where you're going to get your sustenance, where you may be able to wash up, where you may be able to get a hot meal before nightfall again. It's a never-ending cycle. There's many veterans on the street. There's many families on the street. There's many people with mental illness on the street. And I know... Can I just finish?
Finish your sentence.
I know that there's this, some of them are drug addicts, some of them are alcoholics. I'm sorry, for me, if I was homeless, I'd probably be one of those. Think it through and think about what it would be like, and then make your donations this season to help those most in need. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Thank you. All right. Chief Alex.
Good evening, board. Excuse me. My name is Greg Alex. I'm the town chief of the North Coast area and assigned here at Station 15. My report is for October. During the month of October, we had emergency activity of 108 calls of service. 79 of those were medical aids. 9 incidents were reported as fires, and 20 were public service assists. And we called Company 15 to cover 14 times during the month of October. Administratively, in October, on the 18th, we completed all the requirements for the firehouse grant. If you recall, the firehouse grant was around $34,000. It bought 2 complete sets of our Hearst equipment, and Jaws of Life is the name that you may recognize. And they're now utilized on Medic Engine 15 and Medic Rescue 15. October 31st, we welcomed Fire Captain Danny Chesik as a permanent member of Station 15, so we have a new captain. Danny has spent the last 10 years in the San Benito Monterey unit, and we're welcome and glad he's here. He started his career as a captain in 2013. October 26th, Station 15 advertised in local media regarding the new applicants for our reserve company and our 15-hour office assistant. We're in process. We have 8 great candidates. Several, over half of them are local, and we hope that it adds depth and surge abilities to our fire department. Also, I was approached by our county IT staff to look in the possibilities of from an original request about cellular coverage here in the community of Los Osos. And we, as a fire department, we're while we're not dependent on live data, It does help us predict and do some interesting things. And we struggle with our computer-aided dispatch system as it comes in, because it comes from a cellular connection, and we tend to drop off once we leave the station. As soon as we leave the station, we lose our information abilities to transpose back and forth. Also, with the new Zoll monitors that were purchased here last couple months ago, those are communicating directly to the trauma centers as we do our assessments. The actual EKG readings and your heart readings are being sent directly into the doctors. And so there's spots around the community that we really struggle with that. We're just in discussions, but Verizon has approached us, as well as County IT, to talk about solutions. And so I'd hope in the next few months to be able to bring something more solid in front of you about that. Continuing with our October special programs, we are in cooperation with KSBY and the San Luis Obispo County Firefighters Benevolent Association, as well as many other groups, for the continued the Operation Santa Claus. And we have the barrels up at the fire station, and we take donations. And we've today we received, I think, 20 bikes, about $200 of value each bike that was dropped off by a member, as well as we filled that barrel, I think, four or five times, and we had them come back out, as well as the Seasons of Hope. That barrel has also been filling up. So the community's been great about bringing that, and we are going to continue to collect those until the 12th of this month, and that'll be this at the end of this weekend, and then we'll get those where they go. October 5th, paramedic Chris Peterson spoke with the citizens of the Daisy Hill Mobile Home Park, and also spoke with the United Methodist Church on topics about fire extinguisher safety, home safety, evacuation procedures, and gave a very good fire prevention message. Also in October, and we've spoke about this many times, I won't continue on that, but our annual safety fair occurred on October 7th and was a great success. October 10th, we provided engine tours to 15 to 20 kids ages 2 to 5 from the Sunshine Preschool. On October 20th, we provided a standby for the Area 55 event and the Los Osos Middle School. We're also involved in Oktoberfest, so October's a great month, right? We're running all over the place. We've got calls going on, and we're going to be at your event also. And so we're glad to do it. We're excited to do that and get our message out there. We, and October 31st, we were at the annual trunk or treat at Sylvester's also, so we were able to get to that and see all the kids dressed up in their costumes. Coming up in December 9th, we have more events, as we've talked about, the Needs and Wishes Holiday Fundraiser at the South Bay Community Center, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., proceeds benefiting several local charities, and Operation Santa Claus Toys Barrels. We're going to bring our barrels down there, so we're going to get those down so the community folks can donate their toys. The October 8th, we had our Fire Prevention Week. Our message this year was every second counts, plan for two ways out. And that also included our burn relay, and we spoke to two of our schools and also donated to the Ann Rausch Burn Foundation. On October 12th, we hosted a local Morro Bay High School student who was assigned a task to look into how to become a firefighter, what that looks like, and that's the, his note was, his thank you note was in the packet. And Morro Bay, so our fire prevention activities, there's been a recall, and we wanted to make sure we got the message out about the kid fire extinguishers with the plastic handles that you would buy at Home Depot. They're at most miners. They're all over the place. And so they have the plastic handles on them, and they tend to clog up, and the handles break on them. And so there's a recall currently in place on those. If you have one of those in your home, you can call 855-271-0773. That's a toll-free number, and they'll replace it. Or you can go to www.kidde.com. And there's a form in there that you can request to have a new fire extinguisher. in October 27th. We also were at the Monarch Grove Elementary. Firefighters talked to the kids again about the fire safety. A couple items that I would add also, I've been able to engage with the Los Osos Fire Safe Council focus group. They're getting new momentum to revisit some fuel reduction projects that were here in Los Osos about 5 to 6 years ago. I'd like to, as we talked last month, I had just come back from the Santa Rosa fire, and I definitely want to move forward on fuel reduction projects, particularly in our north area of our community. And then the last thing is it's holiday season. Christmas trees, live Christmas trees are going into homes. And they're great. They smell great. We just want to remind everyone to water them every day, every single day. We've got to water them and to make sure the lights are good on them, and then keep them about 3 feet from any ignition source or a heater vent or anything. And once they're dead, get them out. Get them out of your house. They are a fire hazard for sure. That's the end of my report. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Sheriff's Department?
Good evening. My name is David Haydock, and I am a senior deputy with the Sheriff's Department here in Los Osos. Commander Vogue is at the watch commander's desk this week, so he's not able to attend.
Well, welcome.
Thank you very much. So for November 2nd through December 5th, we had 242 calls for service, up from 195 the previous month. Calls related to suspicious vehicles, subjects, and circumstances were 52. Phone scams were 5. That included the classic IRS is coming to get you, Windows wants to repair your computer, and some credit card fraud stuff. 3 vandalisms, 1 animal cruelty where a dog was in a vehicle and the deputy responded and the dog turned out to be okay. 14 thefts, 3 burglaries, and then 57 disturbance calls. Some notable incidents include on November 7th, in the 1600 block of Sage, a subject entered a bedroom window between 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. and took an Xbox video game system. The teenage victim believes that it was probably one of his classmates that had an issue with him earlier in the day, and the case is still being investigated. On November 9th, in the 900 block of Highland, deputies responded to a theft investigation where a woman was stealing boxes from front porches as well as shoplifting items from local stores on Los Osos Valley Road. When the deputy located her, he found in her possession several stolen items, which included the price tag still on them. While speaking with the woman, she decided to run across the street. A brief foot pursuit ensued, but the deputy caught her. She had evidence of her purse as being an intravenous drug user. And the items were quickly recovered and able to get returned. Just on the side note for that, especially since it's Christmas time, we urge people that if you are going to be receiving packages to, and you can't pick them up in a timely manner, maybe have a neighbor or somebody you trust go by and pick them up for you. Other people are oftentimes installing mobile security systems, so when somebody approaches, it sends an alert to your phone, and you can videotape it and at least see who's coming to your door. On November 16th, in the 800 block of Highland, a man purchased 2 golden retrievers sight unseen in 2 separate ads from the internet. He sent MoneyGrams, one for $520 and one for $700, and both these sites were scams. On November 15th, in the 300 block of Grove Street, a laptop, computer, Bose speakers, and $300 in cash were stolen from an unlocked vehicle. Just a reminder, please lock your cars and lock your homes. Our most common thefts are from unlocked vehicles in the area. And finally, on November 20th, in the 1200 block of Los Osos Valley Road, 4 males were observed through a video surveillance system attempting to burglarize the Discovery Life Science business. They attempted to enter through the roof, which caused the alarm to activate. And once the alarm activated, it spooked them off and they ran. And with that, any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Utilities Department reports.
Good evening, Board of Directors and citizens of Los Osos. My name is Jose Acosta. I am the Utility Systems Manager here for the CSD. My report is including all the information for the month of October. First off, you'll see the water production information. The month of October, we produced 17.6 million gallons out of all of the wells. That was an increase of a little over 20% from the previous year. As you can see, the per capita gallons per day is 76 gallons per person. As I remind everyone every month, you know, we were down to 50 gallons per person per month or per day. We want to make sure we try to cut back some more, conserve the water. We're not getting the rain that we're hoping for, maybe later this winter, but the groundwater does require replenishment from the rain, so, and also conservation on our behalf, please. As you can see, each well, it states what the production was from each well this year and last year, and also the percentage and differences from the previous year. On the water billing information, 16.86 million gallons was consumed for the period of August 8th through October 10th, and that generated approximately $267,000 in revenue. Some of the activities performed in the operations and maintenance department and the water distribution and treatment part are your daily, weekly, and monthly sampling of for water quality, monthly meter reading, which takes place every month, meter changeout program. We're continually trying to change out the meters to ensure the accuracy. This month, they changed out approximately 40 meters. We're looking to continue that for the rest of the year. I will have further numbers hopefully next month on percentage of where we are with the meter changeout program, how many have been changed out, and how long it should take us to get 100% change out. We had the 10th Street transfer pump, which is at our 10th Street tank here, failed a couple months ago. So during the month of October, the operators replaced that pump and put it back into service. This pump is utilized to transfer water from one pressure system over to the other, and it's a vital piece of equipment that's needed. We had two service line repairs. We had a full replacement and upgrade of the entire service at 1399 14th Street, and a repair service line on the bike path at El Moro between 18th Street and South Bay Boulevard. We had some issues with some trees at our 16th tank. They were not getting watered, so the guys went down there, did some landscaping, and ensure that that tree is alive to prevent any dry brush around the area. Continually corrosion control measures. We're painting at the wellheads, dead end blow-offs, and sample stations around town. The employees did attend some safety training and some job-specific training. The safety training was a confined space entry training, and job-specific was basic electrical training and electric safety. It's not a thorough electrical training. It is just to ensure that they are safe around electrical cabinets, panels, and replacement of some pumps and stuff. So they also assisted Cleith Harris and Associates with nitrate sampling, which is conducted for the BMC, the Basin Management Committee. At our drainage facilities, crews continue to prepare the drainage and pumping facilities ahead of the upcoming storm seasons, ensuring that there's no debris, that the pumps are operating properly. And quick update, we are replacing a control panel at one of our pump stations, and that should be getting done prior to the end of the year. That is vital to ensure that they operate automatically and properly at all hours throughout the night. Bay Ridge Estates and Vista del Oro collection systems. The contracts have been completed and are headed to the County Board of Supervisors at this time. Rainfall totals for Los Osos. The county website has not updated their chart that's located on this sheet, but they do have individual days. So what I did is I went in there and calculated the amount of rain for each month. As you can see, September 1600s, October 1600s, and November 4700s, which gives us a total of about 7900s of an inch of rain this year. Sure. Not very much. So hopefully we get a wet January and February. That concludes my report. Do I have any questions?
What can you do about the rain?
I can go outside and do a little dance, hopefully.
Good enough. I'll join rain. You. Thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you very much.
Okay. Happy holidays to all. Thank you.
General Manager's report.
Good evening. The applications for the community funds were received, and there's a detailed report under General Action Item 12A for board discussion. As required by AB 1234, Utility Systems Manager Acosta and I participated in the California Special Districts Association Ethics Compliance Webinar, and staff's been working with the bookkeeper to help with the audit questions and all the 2016-2017 information needed to bring up the accounting system current. And I've been meeting with Chairman Tarnowski to discuss various Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee tasks. I kind of wanted to keep those monthly things short so that I can spend a little bit of time on the conservation plan that we introduced to UAC. I introduced a conservation campaign idea to the Utility Advisory Committee. The campaign involves the whole community, and we know we need new artwork and videos for the conservation campaign, so instead of hiring somebody to do that for us, which was costly last year, we decided to take it to the community, you know, and ask the schools for some help. The elementary schools, both Monarch and Baywood Elementary, will be participating in a campaign slogan artwork competition, and Los Osos Middle School will be participating in producing conservation videos for us. We'd like to have several winners in each category, so we have a variety of banners and posters throughout the community. And regarding the videos, we would like to have enough videos to last for the year. Depending on how many prizes we have, I will determine how many winners there are. So this is a collaboration between the Chamber and the CSD and Golden State. The Chamber's responsibilities are going to be to gather the prizes for the winners and also to get sponsorships for helping pay for the posters and the banners and such. CSD, we're going to be involved with the schools doing the legwork, coordinating between the Chamber and Golden State and the school district and such. And Golden State, since they kind of joined a little late, said that they would participate with some funds to help with posters and banners. As far as the timeline goes, we need to give a basic flyer to the schools so that the kids can take home with them during Christmas break, so that they can start working on their slogans or logos for the for their entry. And we were going to give them until January 30th to turn those in to their teachers. The middle school needs till mid-February to do their production. They're kind of in the middle right now of switching students, so both sets of students want to participate, so we're going to give them till like mid-February. We're looking to have the district, UAC, the Chamber, Golden State participate in picking the winners. And again, that's going to how many winners, it's going to determine how many awards the Chamber is able to come up with. And then we'd like to have a big award ceremony maybe at the South Bay Community Center to award all the kids. As far as marketing goes, once we pick the slogans, we'd like to purchase some banners and some posters. Some of the lawn posters that never got purchased last year, we would like to do that. And as far as obviously the videos, we would put them on Facebook and on our website, Channel 20 and such. Cost to the district, if the Chamber is not able to come up with any sponsors, which we already know of at least four, the total cost, if we had at least six banners up around the district, we're looking at about $600 or about $100 a banner, some or less, depending on the size. As far as the lawn posters, those are for about 50, we can get 500. So, and then it's up to the board and UAC if they want to give their own award, if they want to do their own pick and give it a UAC award or the board. board award. So if you're looking like $100 per total, again, with no help from anybody, with no sponsorship, we're looking at about $1,300. So in total, depending on how many posters we want to get, it could run anywhere between $13 to $2,000, and that's if we have no help from the chamber, if the chamber isn't able to find any sponsors. So that's kind of a little quick summary. Of course, there's more to develop as we pick winners and such. And right now it's just a matter of just getting the information to the schools. They have to approve of the flyer. It's just going to be something very basic that just gives directions, and that's it. And I don't know if Chuck has anything that he wants to say or add.
No, that sounds like a perfect update on what we talked about a couple weeks ago. Good.
Does any board Anyone members else? Have any questions about the conservation? Okay. We'll keep you updated.
Thank you. Ms. Tornowski.
Lynette Tornowski, I'm the secretary for LOCAC, and I guess Julia is not here tonight, so I'll give the report. I first want to give a plug for our website, which is greatly improved. If you haven't seen it, please go to locac.info. We also have audios now of our meetings, plus the agendas and minutes. So if you want to catch up on some of this, please go to our website and check it out. It was a very brief meeting last Thursday. The most important things came from County Senior Planner Carrie Brown, and she was giving us an update on the community plan. County staff is working with U.S. Fish and Wildlife on just two outstanding issues now. And even though it's only two, she won't give us a timeline for completion until these issues are resolved. So she's hoping to give us a time frame by the next meeting. And she's hoping we'll be having this community plan done by next year sometime. It will go then to the Planning Commission, the Board of Supervisors, and then the whole package will go to the California Coastal Commission. Chairperson Oberhoff was hoping that we could get the water information that you guys are coming up with so that we could help you out and post it on our website. So I think she'll be getting in touch with you, Renee, to see what you can offer us to put on our website to help out with the water. We had a couple of projects on the regular agenda, minor use permits for increasing living areas and second story additions to houses. And that has been coming up quite a bit at LOCAC lately. And Carrie Brown explained that these have been coming up now for a year. And as long as the house is hooked up to the sewer, it seems that the size of the house does not dictate water use. So they are not having any problems with increasing the sizes of houses. She said, we look at water data based on residential use. So the county allows additions to single-family residences. Then we had a very interesting project come before us, which had started back in the early 2000s. Shear Development Company, it's the residences, they're vacant lots on Highland Drive and Mar Vista Drive, and it's four lots out of a total of eight lots. The four were developed earlier, and these four are now coming before us at LOCAC. The owners apparently have a different idea of what condition six of the LCP for what dictates what we can build around here. And they seem to think that they can get this four houses built, and LOCAC had a different opinion of that. So there was quite a bit of talk back and forth. The person who was representing the project said that this was a transfer of development credits from properties in Cuesta by the Sea So the water use would be no net increase. But as we know, we need our habitat conservation plan, our sustainable groundwater basin to be determined that we are safe to allow any build out. So that was quite a topic of discussion, and it's likely to come up again. The meetings, I wanted to update you on the Land Use Committee meeting will be the second Thursday, December 14th at 6 o'clock. Traffic and Circulation Committee meeting has changed Mondays to be the third Monday of the month. Their next meeting will be December 18th at 5:30 p.m. There was also a bit of a discussion on the reuse of recycled water and that we're not able to use it for home use, only commercial use, medians, schools, homeowners associations. And so there was a bit of a discussion on that, and we're hoping at some point it will change. And I think that's pretty much it. Do you have any questions? Thanks.
Thank you.
Good evening, Board of Directors, member of the public. I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. At this time, I'd like to announce the winners of the bear contest. Best Bear Under 18, Yogi and Boo Boo Bear, created by Ms. DeCuto and Ms. Emery's Buddy classes, second and fifth grade. Location 1141 12th Street. Bert and Ernie Bear took the most creative bear under 18. It was created by Mrs. Dallas and Mrs. Taylor's first grade class, and it was at 1386 6th Street. Best Bear was by Lyrics and Music Studios right around the corner here. Don't have their names. And most creative bear was from Mike Lindsay. All right. So tomorrow night is the second annual community Christmas tree lighting and fundraiser. The live Christmas tree will be placed at the corner of Los Osos Valley Road and Palisades Avenue in front of the Red Barn fence. The event will start at 5 p.m. with the placement of ornaments from the community with the lighting at 6 p.m., followed by Christmas carols performed by the Morro Bay High School Choir. We invite the community to bring an ornament that represents what the holiday means or represents to them, or an ornament in honor of a loved one, along with a dollar to place on the community Christmas tree. You can bring your ornament to the event or drop it off at the chamber office until December 22nd. A reminder that the tree is located outside, so a sturdy ornament is recommended. The $1 donation will go to the Food Bank Coalition of San Luis Obispo. Saturday is the Christmas Parade. It's the 30th annual, and it's this year's theme is Storybook Christmas. Participants in this year's parade are encouraged to decorate and costume their employees, cars, floats, whatever else will be showcasing to express the best creative ideas of a storybook character. The chamber is urging people to go to the parade, watch the parade, and then as the parade ends, follow the parade right to the community center to the Knees and Wishes event that's going on there all day. And then lastly, mark your calendars. The 2018 Community Awards Dinner and Chamber Installation will be January 19, and it's going to be held at Cuesta College. And that's all I have.
Questions?
I do. I don't have a question, but thank you for updating us on the bear. I just want to push the tree lighting because I've, for those of you who are at the FAC meeting on Monday, you know I pushed it then. So I just want to stress, I'm going to be the tall person hanging the ornaments on the high part of the tree. So please get there early with your ornaments. And they do need to be all-weather ornaments because it is a windy location, and they are going to be out there for the remainder of the month. So I'm pushing to get everybody out there. Last year we had a good turnout, but this year we're expecting much, much, many more people. Thank you.
We appreciate your help. Thank you.
Do we need board decision on that? Or
thank you.
Yeah, we'll let that remain in-house as a decision. Okay. Director Cesena.
The Utilities Advisory Committee met third Wednesday, I believe it was, last month. Nothing unusual to report. We talked about the 8th Street well update and all of the infrastructure that we have moving ahead, and the update still to some software and programming that Utilities Department was after. Nothing unusual to report, and we will not be meeting this month. Take the 20th off. That's it.
Would have been a small turnout.
Yeah.
Director Tarnowski.
Yeah, about a year ago, this month, this time in the month, the Parks and Recreation Committee was going through a transition. A new chair was taking over, and the new chair really didn't have what are we going to do with this answer. I happened to be that chair. So what was going on in that month a year ago was a lot of events, activities where people could come together and enjoy the holiday season and eat a lot and so on. There was one event that I said, well, why don't we try to get people to tell us what we should do in terms of parks and recreation. So we had some things to write on. They could write on anything they wanted. We asked some questions, and we're able to sort of get a couple dozen people to take on that task. Then we took it home, and lo and behold, about half the items were parks for dogs. Now, why was that the case? We tried to reason it out, and there's lots of things in our town that involve recreation or involve parks. The ones that really involve a family, two adults and sis and buddy, is a family that has a dog. And it turns out there's a lot of dogs in this town. Some people walk their dogs. Some people take them to places where they can have some dog recreation. We don't happen to have a dog park like pretty much every community in this county has. Okay, so we took it on, and being persuasive, I talked to my committee and say, look, forget about all those other things. We're going to focus on dogs and parks. They're okay, we'll do it. And it turns out Renee, our general manager, was working with county parks to try to figure out what might be the ingredients of a dog park in this county and so on. We did some other things. We did kind of a best practice analysis. I come from a long history of doing analytic stuff in universities, so I know how to do this stuff, and it sometimes actually works. So we dug into reports, magazines, about 25 different sources of dog fare. We dug into them and found interesting little practices and policies. So we ended up with about a 60-item questionnaire that described what the practice and policy was, gave it independently to each of my members of the committee, and asked them to rate it. And actually, they could also write something that, oh, I love it or I hate it. We did that, and it turned out that it really got some results that made sense. So we understood much more clearly what are the practices that we need to express when we actually get a dog park underway. We did some other things. We looked at the whole issue of, well, who's going to run or take a major responsibility outside of this organization if we have a dog park? Well, it's likely to be a 501c or that equivalent. So we ended up identifying all the 501c's in this community, which is a big number. And our committee members contacted those folks and asked them, well, are you interested in a dog park? Just a yes or no. So we have some ones to look at more closely as the new year rolls out. A lot of problems need to be solved. We need answers to some interesting problems. There are things that are going on that demand discussion between the county and the state and so on. Some people who are pessimistic say, well, you never get the answer to that for 5 years. But we think it'll be sooner than that. And then we can have a lot of dogs in parks where they'll be safe and their owners can talk to one another. So, sorry for taking up so many time. We have a cat in our house.
Okay. Thank you. Director Olchowski.
Yes, I'll do a quick recap and then just a couple of outstanding issues that we had at the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee was very, very appreciative of the work that Adrienne has been doing since she came on board as far as answering a lot of questions and clarifying a lot of issues. So they were really pleased with that. They did have another couple of suggestions for reformatting and a few questions that Renee is following up on that we'll have at our next month's meeting for clarification. So they did recommend that both the warrants and the financial reports be approved by the board, which are item 11C and 11D. So the couple of questions were raised by the public that I think are still outstanding that we need to address, and one of the ones that Chuck was at our meeting, but we talked about in the water rate study about the conservation funds, whether those were restricted funds or not, and how those were allocated. So that's something that we're following up on, and Chuck and I have been talking about that, and we'll probably talk to Richard about that too, as far as how that money was allocated in that determination. So that was one issue that we're going to be following up on. And then we also had a question about the audit update when the audit is in process right now. And Renee gave an update that we're still waiting to hear. And Adrienne said in her staff report that she was very pleased with the audit and felt that her discussions went very, very well. So it seems to be moving forward. And in her discussion, as she says in the staff report, I am also very happy to report I am completely up to date on bank reconciliations and other journal entries. So we feel like we've made good progress with the updating of the financial information since Adrienne has come on board. So there's some other outstanding issues that were raised by the staff, by the committee and by the public that we'll be addressing and we'll be bringing back at our next meeting. So
that was it. Thank you. Do we have any announcements from the directors? Attendance at public gatherings, et cetera?
None that I've been to, just the one I'm going to Saturday.
Well, there was. Chuck, there was the Basin Management Committee that I was unable to attend. You may want to give an update on that.
Thank you.
Sorry
that's
to put
right.
you on
that,
the spot.
That's right, yeah, just like that day. Thanks for the warning.
I was sick. I apologize.
Yes. We had an update on the conservation plan, and that was the key for me. Sorry, I wasn't ready to – I'm just not even thinking back to that day. It was the conservation plan and the news that the septic repurposing wasn't going to be part of that program and that kind of thing. But there are rebates still available out there. Washing machines, recirculating pumps, all those things. If you haven't got them in, we should. Everyone should have a recirculating pump, that kind of thing.
Thank you. Thank you for jumping in there, into the breach. And as I recall, we don't have any previously asked questions. All right, public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda. Excuse me, right. One moment, Mr. Margetson. Does anyone wish to pull a consent agenda item? Seeing none? No. Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you very much. Mr. Margetson, go ahead.
The water consumption number is surprising that it's that high. The revenue figure is very surprising. I don't think we've ever come anywhere close to $260,000 in a billing cycle. The reason I bring it up is I think at the end of this fiscal year, after we get through rainy season, we get to the end of the fiscal year, I think for just one meeting, you should reconvene the rate study committee to look at those revenue numbers, because we were, you know, we assumed a 5% potential continued conservation drop in consumption, and that's not happening. It's not anywhere near that. And these rate increases were substantial to pay for basin management projects and other infrastructure projects in the district for a total of $2.2 million over 3 years. I think that number at this, the way it's trending now, is going to be substantially higher than that. And I think that just, you know, keep, you know, maybe start talking about that amongst the board and just let us have a meeting for once and come back with, you know, what our thoughts are. Because I know Rob's already finds it very interesting. The other comment I wanted to make, these additions of bedrooms and bathrooms to properties in Los Osos, the argument is that it's not an increase in water consumption. Well, for the current household, it might not be, unless you have a lot of company coming in. But let's just, with some deductive reasoning skill, put it very simply. If every home in Los Osos was a one-bedroom, one-bath, and every home in Los Osos got permission to turn itself into a two-bedroom, two-bath, is there anybody going to tell me that in the future there wouldn't be an increase in water consumption when the average house sale in Los Osos turns over every 7 to 8 years? Keep that in mind when these things, they're trickling in, but they're going to have an impact somewhere down the road.
Julie Tacker, and I think I'm going to piggyback on something Mr. Margetson just talked about. And if the size of the house doesn't dictate the water use, then why was there a moratorium on building bedrooms and bathrooms since 1988? It was wastewater, the calculation of wastewater. So if it mattered then, I don't quite understand why it doesn't matter now, or vice versa. The other question I had with Lynette's report, speaking about recycled water and the uses, it's still not being used for construction. And that's a hiccup with the water board, is my understanding. But to see drinking water used to water down a dirty street, which I've seen on Los Osos Valley Road, and in my neighborhood lately we've had some paving and such, that just breaks my heart. That is wrong beyond belief. And why the contractors weren't required to go get upper aquifer water somewhere, that's planning department is not talking to the permittee, the person who's getting the permit. That's got to get figured out. The One item you have on the agenda, item G there, 11G, ratifying the contract with Alpha Electric Services. This contract is dated November 14th, so you are retroactively approving something. And you had a special board meeting on the 15th. It seems to me that when we do business, we could have held them off one day and you could have approved that contract on the 15th or a day or two. Whatever it is, it just, it's wrong to do business backwards, backdating, back retroactively approving things. It's just food for thought. The general manager's report on the water conservation program sounds like a cute program involving the school and the kids, and we've done that actually in the past. What we also had in the past was a water conservation coordinator. We had a staff member who was paid a whole lot less than your general manager doing this work. And I don't know who else on your staff is working on it, but when she ran through the list, the cost of how much a poster is or six posters, or that's not where the cost is going to be the burden. The burden is in the staffing. And so that number needs to come to your board before you embark on a program like this.
I'm Lindy Owen. I guess I wanted to just pose one question and maybe ask it in another way. Our water usage, is it 25? I wouldn't do the math right if I said that. But if we're at 76 gallons up from 50 gallons that we were almost had attained, at one point we were the best in the entire county with the water conservation progress. So now the water usage is way up out of in the last 2 months. My question is, with all the additions added to houses, with all the new houses outside of the basin that are going in, with the extra usage for farming that is allowed to go ahead and progress into more farming, how do we know who's contributing to that water use? Is it the private home that just got sloppy and is wasting more, or are we actually giving out extra water that we weren't supposed to be doing until we know we have enough? So there's no answer to that question. The only answer is to put a tight limit on the new additions, new home houses in the basin, and new farming activities. So we're not going to achieve anything until we take that and look at that big elephant in the room. Thank you.
Lynette Tornatsky, I wanted to thank our fire chief, Greg Alex, for expressing the needs of the fire department regarding cellular service. Various projects have come before both this board and the LOCAC board regarding cellular service. And the first reason to shut them down was health issues, and when that became a non-issue, the second issue was, oh, it's going to harm property values. Any kind of a cellular device that's put on, for instance, in this case, the tanks would ruin property values. Well, I think he brought up a really good point that their equipment isn't working right if they don't have good cellular service. So I am hoping that if this ever comes before this board again, and certainly if it comes before LOCAC, that he will come out and explain how important good cellular service is to saving lives, because that hasn't really been an issue before, but it certainly came forward tonight. And the other thing I'd like to say is, as I've been driving through town, I've noticed people have been re-landscaping their yards a lot, and a lot of yards that were looking pretty trashy have brand new plants and they look really beautiful. The thing is, you can't even keep a native drought-tolerant plant alive if you don't water it for at least 2 years. So I don't think that we should discount the fact that there are new plantings, people's yards are looking nice, and people are using more water just to keep those plants alive. So that might be one reason we're seeing this increase. Thanks.
Good evening, Steve Best. I wanted to find out if we've, plans of putting together a dog park. We've talked about the need for doing a grant. Have we looked into doing any grants yet, or have we applied for any grants for the dog park versus using up the funds that we currently have in place that were originally meant for the pool? And there are a variety of other things that I've been looking at lately. I've been mentioning it to the Basin Management Committee, and there's a lot of things that we should be considering. We should be basically thinking outside the box and looking at the future in terms of how we can conserve on water, produce potable water, so that we are taking less water out of the ground, putting potable water back in rather than the contaminated water that is coming from the plant that's generated. It might meet certain standards. It might be just under the wire as far as the kind of contaminants, but we're putting medications and salts and other types of poisons from paintbrushes and fertilizers and things like that. And that's going back into the ground up there at Broderson and soon to be going into the lower aquifer there at Lewis's Creek. So we got to be thinking about what we're doing to our aquifer in the long term. And we got to be coming up with some plans and not just thinking about how we're going to make things look attractive for the lifting the short-term medium, short-term lifting the moratorium. Thank you.
Thank you all.
I was ready to make my motion.
I have a couple comments and then a question or two about the warrants. The water use is a puzzle to me, too, that we've gone up that much over the past year or so. And I suppose it's a good problem to have in terms of revenue, although I don't really want to deal with having more than we thought we were going to have. As to why, I think Lynette brings up a good point. I don't think it's that there's a lot more capacity being added in the CSD's area. We're not issuing will serves and that kind of thing. I don't know if it's just people relaxing, getting comfortable with the winter that we had last year. The latest prediction I saw was that melting polar ice caps will push the typical high ridge in the Pacific Northwest even further north, and we'll be getting even less rain. So let's not get too comfortable with the fact that we had a good winter. And we will be revisiting that issue, Richard, certainly keeping an eye on the revenue stream and just how we might need to deal with that. Before we move on to approval, I have a couple questions about warrants. On page 4, let's see, under 27429, there's a couple of credit card charges that talk about e-maintenance, ENT, LLP. Is that training for the utilities department?
The e-maintenance is the new maintenance program that we purchased.
Okay.
So
perfect. The software and the training for that.
Yeah, the 14 is the training and the 32 is the software.
Good, yes. We accomplished that. Down a little bit further, the next page, 27443, SWCA Environmental Consultants. That's a good size check. Is that related to snail surveys at a well site or something?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Because every time we had a little bit of a rain event, I lost where I was. Is there a date on it? November. So when we had that little bit of rain, as soon as there's rain, they run out and do a survey.
And that's no, you have to. I guess that's one reason not to want rain, but I'd just as soon have the rain and deal with snails and okay, thank you.
Good.
Okay, now. Okay, I'll go ahead and make a motion that, I had dental work done today. I was in the chair for a long time having a crown replaced, so that's problematic for me. But that we go ahead and receive and file the administrative committee reports, and that we go ahead and approve the items on the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Thank you very much. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I have a resolution, so if we take a roll call vote.
I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. Thank you.
It's his fault.
Director O'Hill?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Tarnotsky?
Aye, aye.
Vice President Millage?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on to item 12. Do we have public comment on this item? I'm sorry? The staff report.
Okay. Well, I was actually going to defer to Director Ohilski if he wanted to take this.
Okay. Thank you. Just for clarification, there was an original staff report prepared, and then as a result of the discussion at the Financial Advisory Committee and some discussions with the grantors of the money, we've made some changes to the staff report here. So what is the recommendation at this point is that we go ahead and use the county's affordable housing standards, which is Exhibit A in the revised staff report, which has been adopted by the county and it's updated on an annual basis, so that we use those to determine everybody that qualifies as either extremely low income, very low income, or low income. So the applicants that have qualified under those three categories, we're recommending that we go ahead and award those, approve those applications, and that the other monies that are left over after those applications, that money go back to the Financial Advisory Committee for a discussion as to how that money would be expended, whether we want to have some different options available to look at. And as it mentions in the last paragraph, several ideas that have been submitted are helping people recycle their septic tanks, offsetting low-income residents with their sewer bills, reimbursing low-income residents who have already installed their sewer laterals. So there's a number of options that are available, but the thought was that we would go ahead and approve the seven grants that were within the county's affordable housing standard and then come back to the board at a later date with what to do with the additional funds that were available after those grants were funded. And I would just put one qualifier in here. The cost estimates that are in here are just rough, because those people have to actually go out and get proposals for the installation of the sewer lines in their yard. So there was just a ballpark figure used, which the county provided, of $5,000 plus or minus. So if those came up, then we would be in the range of $30,000-$35,000 with a significant amount of money left over that we could either go out for some additional funding request, or to just say we could supplement people's, like I said, the various options that are available. So what we tried to do is come up with something that was justifiable, and it was based on the county's affordable housing standard, which, as I mentioned, are updated on an annual basis. So this is as a result of discussions that we had at Financial Advisory Committee and some discussions with the grantors. If I have any questions, I can answer them. I do affordable housing as part of my workload, so I'm relatively familiar with this subject. Okay.
Okay. Then, now we can take off. Yes. Do we have public comment on this item?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I think there should have been a staff report that explained how we got here. Because the last time this item was before your board in April of 2016, your board directed that the money be given to the county to put into their program. That has never been reported to your board that that changed, that something changed. And so it should have come here first. The criteria should have been set through a committee process, through an open process. Where you are tonight, when you look at the application that was put on your website, it says, if it appears that you are eligible, you will be contacted with information about how to apply for financial assistance. There's a deadline on here of November 21st. Doesn't say what year it was due, but sometime on November 21st. And so then it also says that the money's going to be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis without any outreach other than hand-picking or hand-selecting the 72. And I've done some research on this, so I know kind of what you guys did or what was done. And the county's list of people who didn't meet their criteria is the focus of who you've targeted now. Well, there are a lot of people who might have qualified for this, and I think you need a larger window of time and have everyone in the pool, whether they've already hooked up or not because they felt they couldn't qualify for the county's program. I think open a checking account. That's fine. But awarding tonight, when you have maybe hundreds of people who would qualify for this program that have already spent their own money hooking up to this, don't shake your head, Lou. You're shaking your head no. I know there are people who prioritize their spending and hook themselves up to be compliant. Now you're putting out a program that's after the fact and awarding someone who procrastinated, perhaps. So I think it's too early to award. It's nice that you have a new income. You're using the county's housing standards. But this was advertised in a very narrow way, not very many people knew about it, for homes that were $85,000 or less.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Lindy Owen. At last I get to speak on the subject. I think what I was trying to say before I was cut off was that the process hasn't followed any kind of normal community review or discussion about this. I'm one of those people that took money out of my savings account to pay for my hookup, and I qualify for both programs, but I just didn't do it. An article today, I think in the New Times, discussed that the county has lost their window of opportunity, and they're having to go back and start the whole process over again. They had, I forgot how many people were in their approval for the loans, 80 homes, I believe. County is using $500,000. That's what their fund account is. I cannot remember the amount that ours is, 168, 169, $169,000 that we have. The county is starting out all over again. They have to reconnect with all those people, put the program back out, I believe. This is the time to look at what the administration would be if we do it, and how much time does it cost to process every, you know, and to notify everybody in town that could still be eligible, and to put it into, you know, get it back to way under 85,000. Or if you want it to be 85,000, there's people that probably come out of the woodwork to apply for that money. So I would advise thinking about putting it back in with the county's funds and starting out fresh with an extra $169,000 that the county could administer.
Thank you.
Lynette Tornotsky. I'm hoping that you go ahead with the entire staff recommendation here and approve the eight applications that you did receive. There's a lot of money left over once these eight are done. These eight people, while it's a small number, it's polluting the groundwater. We need to get them hooked up, and it's pretty clear they need the help. So I hope you approve this tonight and go back to committee, figure out what to do with the rest of the money. You have some good suggestions so far, but I think it's really important you get this thing going, and I think blaming is not useful in this case. We need to move ahead. Thanks.
Richard Martin, just real quick. I haven't heard anything about the impact on these applicants if they don't receive this grant and they can't hook up out of their own resources based on the guidelines that the county adopted, I don't know, a month ago or whatever, that include, you know, potential fines and that whole process. This community's been through that once with the Magic 50. Let's maybe hear something on that or a little discussion.
Hard. I'm one of those applicants. If I could have done anything else, I would have. Been in and out of the hospitals. I struggle every month to get by. I have all the materials I need to do the job, because I used to have a plumbing, heating, air conditioning company. If I could have dug the thing by hand, I would have, but I can't dig. I've had my son over there helping me, but I don't have the money to spend on it. I have all the materials. I tried to hire contractors to install it for me with my materials. Nobody would take it. So I'm at the end of the line, and I'm putting it in myself as we speak. But I live hand to mouth with my wife. We don't have the money to spend, and I fully intended to do the work myself. But the first surgery didn't work, and the second one hasn't worked any better. So I don't know what else to do.
Okay, I see no one else interested in making public comment, so I will close it.
I think if I could just make a few comments and answer a couple of questions. First of all, one of the things that came up in our discussions at Financial Advisory Committee was the administrative cost. And as far as us administering these funds internally, Renee is doing the job all herself, so our administrative costs are nothing above and beyond what we're already paying for her services. So we have no administrative cost, whereas the county did have some additional administrative costs, and I'm not throwing the county under the bus, but they did have additional administrative costs for the funds that they were providing for the applicants. So that's one thing. I would also point out that there will still be $139,000 plus or minus that will still be available. And, you know, how we decide to spend that, whether we're going to go out with another round of applications, or like I said, we're going to defer cost for some people on their property tax bills or their septic bills, or pardon me, their sewer bills or whatever, that's something that's still up for discussion, and we plan on discussing that at next month's Financial Advisory Committee meeting. I think Mr. Best put it best that there are people that just need to get this done and that have no other options available. So, you know, the ones that are in this application, again, there's $139,000 plus or minus that will still be available. And I think as Mr. Margetson brought up, the hookups are time sensitive. We are getting into the phase of the project right now where there will be fines and liens attached to the various properties if they don't connect in the near term here. So it's a very, very time sensitive time to do what we can in the short term. But then again, we do have a significant amount of money available to address the other concerns. So with that, I'll make the motion to approve.
No discussion from
the
board?
Well, I'm just making a motion. I didn't ask for it.
Okay, you ready? Okay.
Yeah, I'm just making a motion. I assume we'll have discussion on it. Yeah. If nobody seconds it, there won't be any discussion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. No discussion?
I'm really confused how we went from let's turn these funds over to the county, let's make it easy, keep everything pooled. I mean, they have a process. And then the next thing we hear, they're back here. So something, I agree, something just didn't get communicated there. Why we changed directions, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that these aren't assets associated with the sewer project that under 2701 had to be handed over to the county. And I have a lot of confusion about just what's going on. Are these six of the eight meet the HUD standards? Then county has HUD money. Why aren't they being approved through that process? I would rather spend all the HUD money first, keep the NEP money for other things if we can accomplish everything through the HUD program. There's a lot of information that's been floating around out there. Are these people that were approved through the HUD program, then the time frame fell out, now they have to reapply and they just don't want to do that? I got all kinds of questions that just haven't been answered. And I'm trying to find out exactly what the reality is, and I just don't. I mean, the only thing I see about the change in the staff reports is that we went from calling the income criteria 80% of the median to low income. The number stays the same, so the effect of the program seems to stay the same. If these people qualify for the HUD program, at least six of the eight, why aren't we processing them through the county HUD program? That's my first question.
I can speak at the pleasure of the chair.
Please do.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know. It's late at night, and I'm not totally on my game. I'm Bruce Gibson, Second District Supervisor, County of San Luis Obispo. The numbers that you see on the chart back there are not HUD qualifying numbers. Those are a criterion that the county puts forward to determine what level of affordable housing an individual would qualify for. So the income levels are if someone is going to be able to purchase, and there's a whole other section of are they going to be able to rent a unit that's been deed restricted to be affordable, they have to meet these particular income levels in their household. The matter of the CDBG funds that the county is administrating to provide assistance to lower income folks in Los Osos as a matter of getting their connections to the sewer have a whole range of other qualifying issues that have to be taken into account. And I won't speculate, but there is a qualification process that they have to go through. The intent of the county was to believe that your administration of these funds is the most efficient, cost-effective way to take care of people who might otherwise fall through the cracks. And so I think, as I understand, I won't put words in Mr. Ohilski's mouth, but I think the idea is to come up with some rationale for an income threshold to qualify for your program, and this is a number that makes some sense. In the end, it is your district who administers these funds according to your rules, and all I can say from the county perspective is thank you very much. We really appreciate the teamwork in coming together to take care of a range of folks in Los Osos, and these funds we've known about for a long time, and I'm really happy to see them on the threshold of being deployed. Happy to answer any other questions that you might have.
Director's the same.
Well, I'm still, I guess, wondering, would these people qualify for the HUD program? Yeah, yes or no?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Because okay. I just
don't know.
I'm just not deeply knowledgeable.
So we don't even know if
this.
They've applied for it or not?
Well, we did an extensive amount of outreach into the community to try to get anybody who thought they needed financial assistance hooked up with the county. And that was multiple attempts and multiple mailings and multiple workshops and office hours and a whole bunch of different things. At whether we have closed that process or not, I'm not 100% sure, but the idea was that these individuals, for one reason or another, did not fit the criteria that we need. I see the expert, my staff is here tonight and is nodding that the folks who are applying to you don't fit these particular criteria that are necessary to qualify, and it is complex on this other front.
Okay, back to the administrative draw. Thank you, okay. Mr. Gibson. The administrative draw issue. I still don't agree with that statement, Marshall, that there's no administrative cost to the program, because there are other things that could be done instead of working on this. So there's administrative cost. I don't think the water department should bear it, because some of these funds will be handed out to Golden State non-CSD water customers. So I think that if we're going to pay for this through the CSD, it's got to come out of property tax revenues or something else that supports the entire district. And if these people truly don't fit under the county program, then that's what this money is here for. I understand that. I guess I was confused about there's still money in the county program. There was a question about time frame and people having to reapply, and I just want to make sure that we're not picking up the people who just didn't want to reapply for the county program but could have qualified under that.
Oops, excuse me. And I think that we can have that administrative allocation discussion and whether we need to, allocate part of that portion to Golden State, et cetera. I think that's something we can talk about. But I think, as Sherry's been shaking her head, these are people that, I don't want to say fell through the cracks, but didn't qualify under the CBDG grant program. So,
and you're not inclined to take that back to the Finance Committee, as they talked about? I mean, Sherry in particular talked about wanting to know more about process before any funds
were
dispersed.
She sent out another email saying that she, once it was explained to her, she was fine with that.
It's true. This one was from Tuesday.
Yeah. So she did send out another one saying she was fine with that,
okay,
and that the remaining funds coming back to the FAC.
Okay. So are we talking all eight or six? The six that...
Talking about six.
Okay.
Any more discussion? All right. Then I'm ready to entertain a motion. Oh, sorry. That was so long ago. Yes. Roll call vote, please.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
And Vice President Millage?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we had no poll consent items. Do we have any requests for future agenda items?
When are we going to talk about 4-0 staffing for emergency services and that kind of thing?
That should be a task that the ESAC is assigned, I would assume.
Okay. I eagerly await that.
When we do our work programs for the upcoming year.
Anything else?
Nope. Okay. I got a whole bunch of announcements, though.
Well,
yeah.
It's your turn, then. You can start.
Oh, I get to start. Well, then you guys will have nothing to talk about by the time I get done.
Oh, so,
that's okay.
I'm just going to go with two things, so I'll leave the needs and wishes to Chuck, to you guys, okay? I have two things, and I've said this too many times probably, but the Christmas tree lighting tomorrow, 5 o'clock, South Bay Community Park, on the corner of Palisades and Los Osos Valley Road. Make sure you get all-weather ornaments, and if you'd like them hung higher in the tree, please get there early because I'm scared to go up in a ladder when it gets dark, and I'm the one hanging the high ornaments up there. So please get there early. And we do have the Morro Bay Choral, or pardon me, choral group coming tomorrow, and I guess they have a concert at the library after that, if I'm not mistaken. So, again, the last year's attendance was good, but this year it's going to be awesome. So, second of all, Christmas tree removal, and I'll piggyback on the fire department at this. So we do have an announcement here from Mission Country Disposal, which is your garbage company. So Christmas trees are going to be removed during service on the week of January 8th through 12th. So that's the week if you have a Christmas tree that you need taken away by the garbage company, put it out by the street, they'll take it. If you do it before then, they won't take it. If you do it after then, you won't take it. So January 8th through 12th. And then the tree should be cut into 4-foot sections and placed in the green waste cart or placed at the curb. And please take your lights, ornaments, and stands off of them. I'm just reading what I've been given here as a script, okay? So those are my two items. Thank you.
Any other closing comments?
Conserve water, people. Conserve water. We're not out of the woods yet. I want to go over the needs and wishes holiday fundraiser. The Chamber of Commerce Parade starts at 10. Storybook Christmas, I think that's the theme. Enjoy the parade. And then come to the Community Center for the Needs and Wishes Holiday Fundraiser. It benefits the Maxine Lewis Memorial Shelter. We heard about them earlier today. The Slow Nork Clinic, and I just met a friend of mine the other day that receives all of her medical help through the Nork Clinic. They are an amazing group providing free and low-cost health clinics to the uninsured. And then Los Osos Cares, our new local group here, who's trying to help things right here in town. And it's good to see them getting their feet under them, and good to see that people helping people is going to help them. The event runs right after the parade. It actually starts at 10. We'll have Marilyn Miller playing piano. Santa comes about noon. The Bay Osos line dancers from 12 to 1. We'll have a mashup of Bay Osos folk dancers, Balkan Central Women's Balkan Choir. This is going to be a gypsy cabaret-style Russian folk music mashup, followed by the Samba Loca drummers at 2 o'clock, Joyous Voices led by Victoria Lowry at 3, 3:30, Morro Bay High School Chamber Choir, 4 o'clock, The Magic of Derek Hood, 5 o'clock, Singing for Hope and the Coastline Chamber Ensemble directed by Colleen Wall. That will take us right up to 6 o'clock in the close of the silent auction. And there are good things that obviously Richard wants to talk about silent auction.
No, I just want to say one thing about the entertainment. The Joyous Voices, if you haven't heard them, talk about getting in the spirit. This is an autistic group of musicians. There's about five of them. They're my favorite group. I just have to tell you, they're my favorite group. I've had them for, I think this is the third or fourth year. I give them all the credit in the world.
And that'll be at 3 o'clock.
That's
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Yeah. Santa's Kitchen will be open for burgers and hot dogs. The silent auction's really fun. You can pick up some really nice things at that silent auction. The toy store, do all your Christmas shopping for the kids. There'll be barrels there to donate to the fire department. There's a matching tree. Look for it. You'll see people's names on there, and you can match their donations and hit your friends right in the pocketbook. All kinds of good stuff. Be out there from 10 to 7 at the community center Saturday. I mean, gift certificates going right to the silent auction right here. Thank you.
That's what I was going to – can I piggyback on – I know you don't want to go over your silent auction item, but I will. There's a silent auction item where you can have a meal with Mr. Cecina, so I think that that may be one of the high bid items this
year. I think that $20 bid usually pushes this thing into the black for the year.
I'm sorry. No, there are some awesome items.
There are. I've picked up signed John.
I already upped it to 25. There you go.
He knows I like pizza.
Anything else? All right. In that case, I'm adjourning the meeting.
Not knowing that he was not going to come, but I do need you to sign your name.